This is the 14th Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you. Thursday evening, October the 28th, 2010. Vito Rolla is a speaker of this service teaching on Assault on the Church. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
As I said in the beginning of the message, that we're going to change. The church must change. It can't keep going on the course that it's going on. We'll not fall back. We'll not yield to the enemy. We will not give up. And I don't care what the media and the rest of the world says. I'm going to stand on who I am. Listen, they've got me to fear, and they should have you to fear, and the power that's operating in you, not the other way around. People walk around trembling, thinking that, well, anyway. I remember our first trip to the Philippines. My wife and I, we were invited to the Philippines, and we packed all of our luggage, and you know, we packed even a lot of books in our luggage, and we got to the airport, and I hope I got this right. If not, I'll correct it. That when we got there was a guard, an unknown person was there. He says, "Oh, you don't want to go there." Who spoke to him? And it? And then we get on the plane and we got this horrendous 30-something hour trip. We stopped in Amsterdam. We stopped in Hong Kong. We stopped in, it was like 14 stops in all this time. 32, 36 hours we were on the plane, right? We were in the air or on the ground. And we get to our destination, Manila. We get there, and they lost our luggage. And so we were there. And we've learned since then we carry a little bag that's got all the necessities in it. But they left our bag sitting on the dock at the airport. And so here we are for 3 or 4 days in Manila. And then we were enjoying where we were staying. We were blessed. We were given a 5-star resort that, Marcos had built. He built several of these big hotels with the money off the backs of the poor people there. That's why they're poor, amongst other things. And so we're enjoying things, and then we both get sick. Yeah, it got us. It got us. And that wasn't as bad as I was at first. And so the people that had invited us there, they came and they picked us up, and they were driving us to Baguio City this time. We've been to Bulacan and other places. They brought us to Baguio City. By the time we got there, my nose looked like a faucet. It felt terrible, and I couldn't talk. The voice was lost. I'm saying, all right, okay, what am I doing here? And so this devastating kind of thought came across their mind. We just made this big trip and spent all this money and we can't talk. I didn't say it, I thought it. Because I couldn't. But I knew God was greater than the devil in this case. And so our baggage did arrive 3 or 4 days later, right before we went to Baguio City. Actually, the day we were getting ready to go, we were buying all these clothes that didn't fit right. But they make pretty good clothes over there, by the way. So if you go there, they make pretty good clothes, but they also make some not so good clothes. But it's no different. It's no different than any country that you go to. And Pat got some really neat stuff over there, very reasonable. And she still wears them when she can, well, when she can wear them. And so, I'll hear about it tonight, believe me. So but fear entered me. Yeah, fear entered me. And so we get to Baguio City, and the first night I'm to open up the conference, and each day I'm going to speak there. My nose is running. Looked like something was grabbing my nose and just pulling everything out. I mean, I don't know how one human being can have that much in their body. I just don't know. And so anyway, it got time to go to the meeting, and I had stacks of Kleenexes. I mean, I had a pile 2 feet tall. I mean that. I mean, they were everywhere, and they all kept looking at me. You know, is this the guy that's coming to minister to us? His nose is running, and I'm thinking, oh, I can't talk. Now what am I going to do? All I can do is snort what's in my body and just look at everybody like, oh, because I lost my voice. And so Pastor called out, and I didn't answer. My ears must have been stopped up too. Pat nudged me, and she said, "Angel, he's calling you." I looked at her, and I said, "Are you crazy? I can't go up there. I can't talk." I mean, I motioned to her. You know, signed to her. And so he says, "Come on up." I'm thinking, what's up? He knows I can't talk, because I couldn't talk to him. He had only talked to me. And so I go up there, and I'm on the stage, and I'm carrying all these Kleenexes, and I'm doing all these things as I get to the stage, and I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me like, okay, here it comes. And he hands me the mic, and my voice came back perfectly. God is able. And he's able to do it for you as well. I preached, I thought it was for 10 minutes. My wife said, well, it was over an hour. And so I'm preaching and I'm getting, and suddenly, you know those suddenly deals? Suddenly, we're in this big auditorium. And all these people are looking at me because I became quiet. And I'm looking up at the ceiling and I begin to see what I couldn't understand come through the ceiling. And as it came down through the ceiling, I dropped to my knees. And I said, Lord, what are you showing me? What is it that I'm seeing? And as it came through the roof, it glittered like gold and silver, and it was beautiful as it came through. Now, the people out there, all these pastors, leaders, and other people could not see what I saw. They only saw what I was doing, and I was talking to the Lord. I was talking to the Lord. Like, I forgot all about Him. You see things of the Lord. You forget everything around you. You go, Lord, what is it? And I said, "What, Lord, what is it that you're showing me?" He said, "Vito, I'm showing you my love. Love that's more powerful than any sin." And that love came down on the people, and I watched it when it got about 3 feet over the people. And then all of a sudden, people began to drop out of their seats. Honey, remember? My wife was on the floor. Everybody was on the floor. I'm on the floor. Everybody's on the floor. And I'm watching people repenting. Repentance comes before deliverance. The Shekinah glory, the first time that I've ever seen it. And I pray that I see it more often. And as it came, people were repenting. Emptying everywhere. Well, that pretty much ended the service a little bit after that. I mean, nobody wanted to leave. You know, you're in that kind of presence. You're going, hey, what's up? You know, I like this. This is really cool stuff. Well, the next day, I got up to do it again. He gave me the mic. My voice came back. When my voice came back, I preached. And then deliverance came. Things were coming out of pastors and leaders that I have never seen before. I mean, it looked like, no, I won't even talk about it. I mean, continuous flows. I mean, we're not talking about spitting. We're talking about, they look like those slinkies, you know, those things that just continue and come out. I mean, slinkies of stuff were coming out of their noses and out of their mouth. And I'm saying, oh my God, what is this? The Lord said, demons and pastors. They were not only repenting and getting rid of them, I didn't have to cast them out. All I had to do was speak the word out in Jesus' name. And people left them on the ground. They left them on the ground. And each day, something happened. Each day, the Lord moved in that conference. So, the point that I want to make is that God will do great signs and wonders in our midst, and we should not go looking for signs and wonders, because the Word says that signs and wonders will follow those who what? Believe. Do you believe?
Yes.
Then you can see signs and wonders. Oftentimes we see things that or hear about things after we've been someplace and we're saying, wow, wish I could have seen it. No, wish I could have experienced that. You know, I wish that I could look into that man's head and see that cancer ball in his head dry up and go away. I wish I could have seen someone who couldn't walk. I wish I could have seen the workings that are going on. But most of the time, it happens after the fact. There are times we see it when it happens right on the spot, and you just marvel and say, "Hey, I didn't do anything," because you didn't. All you did was believe, and all by faith. By faith, you received. Okay, so that's the opening. Okay, so 1 Timothy 4:1 Let me turn there real quick, and you can turn there with me, because Jesus talked about the days that I believe we may be living in. And 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Well, we are seeing it. And there's a progression in all of this. It's invaded the church in many different forms, not all churches, but it has invaded. Most people don't recognize that they've been invaded. It's like the enemy behind lines. We don't know that he's there. And false signs and things, so-called wonders, are supposedly held in those churches. And I often see, I've been to a few where, into a church, be invited to a small church, and I watch people saying, that pastor talked so many people into it that they had gold dust in their hands that I thought, I think they should have collected all that if it's real and used it to pay off the building debt or help the poor or do something else. But all he did, the only gold that was collected was that was in people's pockets. And so, people today are so hungry that, and you all know that is something I don't have to keep referring to, but they're so hungry that they'll chase after anything, even a rabbit's tail. They'll chase it and go after it. And so there are all kinds of things that are out there, but who's telling them? You're getting it. So the assault on the church is rather interesting. Not that it's good, but it's interesting how it's happening. We're seeing the assault by the New Age practitioners and how it's invaded the church and how it's brought in through the martial arts and how it's come in through yoga, how it's come in through contemplative prayer by the ancient mystics that, back then, how it's coming through relaxation methods, how psychologists are saying that we need to do this in order to move forward and to mature. Did you know that psychologists were, that came about by a guy called Carl Jung. And Carl Jung, you know how he got his knowledge? He got it through channeling. He was into New Age and through channeling and automatic handwriting. And the next thing you know, it's now accepted by the medical field. And so now we have the occult in the medical field, but we're also getting it in the church. And so many other things, reflexology, so many other things. Some of you have covered some of these things in what you've been teaching. And so witchcraft has become a very much a part of what we're doing. And then there's the angel communication, talking to angels, naming angels. And when we're doing that, we're really walking on really dangerous ground. I have seen some of these people, and I don't name names much. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Liar!
Not a lie. Jerry, Carl, you should not have taught me that. I know, you see it now. And so some of these people that I'm going to mention, they've been in the news, their names are out there on the internet, they're out there in public, so they're not dead, maybe, all the way, but I can talk about them just a little bit, okay? Can I do that? And if it's on the internet, please don't be offended. And if you are, you will get over it. You know, some of this stuff, and I'm not going to go too far back, but God's generals. I'm going to go back to a guy called William Branham. Okay, William Branham had an angel friend called Emma. Now, I don't ever remember reading, and maybe somebody could point it out, female angels. Not there. Okay, I want you to understand it. You're saying that they're not there. You know what? They're not there. Okay, just so that you know. It started with Branham. He fell, drunkard, all the other things he was in. And then it was passed on to a prophet called Paul Kane. Y'all know who Paul Kane is. When I saw him 30 years ago, I was in Kansas City, was visited there, and I saw him, a fairly new Christian. I said, homosexual. Homosexual. That's what I saw. And I shared this with some people. I said, oh, you're nuts, man. He's a prophet. I don't care what he is. If he's a homosexual, he's a homosexual. It's like what Brother Jim said. He says, if it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, and walks like a duck, it's a duck. Some of them don't have the appearance of a duck, but it is still there, undercover. They're undercover. And then we had people like Todd Bentley. And so for those of you that have followed Todd Bentley, and you're still following him, you don't know much about Todd Bentley. Now, I had this weird feeling in my stomach. You know, when the Lord begins to show us something, he began to show me some things about Todd Bentley. And I wasn't connecting. I'm saying, man, if this guy is doing this, great. But if not, Lord, if you would show me. You know, when you ask the Lord to show you something, He will show you. Did you know that? Okay. And Todd, I mean, you know, I'm not going to bless him. I'm not going to speak evil of him. But all I'm going to say that he's walking in blatant sin right now. And people are following. You know, when he fell into adultery. Emma was his friend. Cain gave him Emma. He said, here, you take the girl for a while. And so, Todd Bentley, you'll get that in a minute, the passing. And so Todd Bentley willingly accepted that, and then accepted a few other spirits, by the way. He was delivered years ago, and he was set free, and then he turned right around, and he invited him right back in. He did not have an understanding of deliverance. If he understood deliverance, and people that we know personally were the ones that took him through deliverance. Was it complete? Not. Because if it would have been complete, he wouldn't have fallen like that. But his flesh and everything else, acorn landed all over him. And then he became an alcoholic. And his favorite spirit was Bam Bam. And Bam Bam used to be a Florida wrestler, professional wrestler. And his name was Bam Bam, and that's what he used to do. That's why when people would come up on stage, he'd kick them in the head, slam them down, and do all these other things. But I can only say this, if he were to kick me, it'd be the last time he'd kick somebody. Because I wouldn't take it anymore. I wouldn't do it. But he kicked out some man's teeth and well, Lord, you know, I'll repent. But anyway, what I'm saying here is that an interesting thing. When God gives you knowledge, it's true knowledge. The devil will give you knowledge, but it'll be false knowledge. Counterfeit of what God's gifts are. And so I had a vision. We were out praying on our lanai. And lanai is a screened-in porch, if you all don't know. We were sitting out there, and I was just, man, you know, God, what's going on? I got these feelings. And he gave me a vision of what was happening. And the vision was that I saw him. I saw them, and it was like real time. I saw him up there, like on a projector screen. And I saw him naked with this woman in bed. Now, I didn't see the sexual part, so, I mean, it wasn't that. But I saw that he was there. And I knew they were there, but I mean the sexual parts, but I didn't see them. And so as I looked, I said, "Wow, Lord, why are you showing me that?" And I didn't want to tell anybody because they would have thought, well, "Come on, man, you don't see stuff like that." Oh, yes, I do. I do see it. So if there's anything hiding in you, I'm going to see it. I see him going. Tucking in. I do see spirits. And I do see it in people. And I'll point them out. And I'll do what I have to do to help you get free. Amen. But I saw this. And I told my pastor. And I told another pastor. And I didn't go beyond there because they're going, oh, come on, Vito. What are you talking about? This evangelist has gone worldwide, man. You know, all these things, these miracles and all these things are happening. I said, I don't care what's happening. This is what I saw. Well, anyway, a couple of months later, it was revealed that he was having an affair with one of his team members or secretary or whatever it was. And he turned around, he divorced that woman. Oh, it was okay. Big time leaders prayed over him. Now he's okay. And those big time leaders, I know them. I know who they are. I was acquainted with them, sat on boards with them. And I saw this man supposedly restored after he divorced his wife and married the gal he was having an affair with here. And then he was okay after a couple of weeks. Now, hey, release him. Now he's gone. Hey, sin's gone. What about his family? What about his wife? What about his kids? What about that? And so I just want to move right along with this. And then there was the other guy called Robert Slaridan. He's dealing with homosexual. Once again, 35 years ago, I saw him as a young man, 17 years old, and I saw the homosexual spirit on him. It was confirmed while we were in the Philippines. I've always said, something with him. And I wasn't quite sure what it was, and I didn't want to say anything, but the homosexual spirit was there. And then there's Ted Hager, been in his church. Ted Hager, we all know it's been on Oprah, it's been everywhere, you know, he confessed himself, but he was abused. He was one of those who had been abused, the thing was transferred to him, and he became who he was and allowed these things in his life. And so, we sat in his church. We did conferences in his church. And so, I'm not speaking evil against these people. I'm only showing what is already common news out there. If it was something that wasn't common, I wouldn't tell you if it wasn't out there. I wouldn't do that. But since it's out there, it's public knowledge. Yeah. And then there was Bob Jones, the prophet. You know, Bob, Kansas City prophets, Bob Jones, Paul Kane. Again, I looked at him. I said, the guy's into sex. You know, he wasn't married, but I saw what he was doing. Stories that I heard that he wouldn't No, I won't even say it. No, I wouldn't say it. And then we have recently, we have Eddie Long, who has now been, I always listened to Eddie Long. I thought he was great, just like some of the other preachers, but also now he's been accused of homosexual activity in his church. But it's not new. We see people within major denominations as well. Jimmy Swaggart, who fell. I love that guy. I still do love him. But I believe that he was never fully delivered, and so he fell right back. Jim Baker was another one. I was there. I was there with Jim Baker. I did programs there with Jim Baker. But yet, I walked into the basement of the old house that that they moved from another location and brought me down into the basement to show me the lower level. And the lower level looked like a Roman whorehouse. Okay, it had Roman columns and pools in there. And I said, "This ain't godly. I know this ain't godly," and got myself out of there. Okay, so we know that angels are there, and the big thing that's happening today is the impartation services. Now, I'm not saying that we can't lay hands on people. All I'm saying is when deliverance is being done, I don't believe in that. If you want to do it, hey, it's up to you. But I'll tell you a story about a couple in Boston. And that couple was bringing, two pastors in Boston that were taking a man through deliverance. That man happened to be a male stripper transvestite. I guess that's what I could say and be safe and sane. And so the female pastor was the lead pastor. And so she came in and she said, "I think I'm going to bring somebody." So she brought her assistant pastor in. And so as they went to lay hands on this man to bring him through deliverance, there was a ball about the size of a golf ball that began to move around his body. Now, it's hard to believe something. If you've not seen these things, you've not seen people turn into a snake and crawl on the... if you've not seen those things, if you've not seen the actual things happen before your eyes, you say, "No, I don't believe that. That's not true." But when you see it, you believe it. And I'm not going to lie and tell you something wasn't there. Well, there was a reason that happened. The devil had sent this man in, not God. The devil had sent this man in, and this man was there for a purpose. Because the devil knew there was some thoughts going on in both this pastor and this associate pastor. Thoughts were there. Things were going on in their life, and marriages were not quite the way they wanted them. And so it was a perfect opportunity for the demonic to be transferred to them. And guess what? As they were laying and watching this thing move around their body, they both got terrified, but it was too late. You see, it was too late, and that thing had already attached to them. And guess what happened? They both fell into sexual sin. So adultery was committed on both sides. We ministered to both of them, not at the same time, but we ministered to both of them. One flew in from Kansas City, was there and heard about us, about my book, and the other one a couple weeks later flew in from somewhere, on the East Coast. I can't tell you that in case they're watching this someday. But they were both delivered. See, I saw the pastor get on the floor and repent like I've never seen anybody repent. He got down and he repented. Nobody had to coach him. Nobody had to say, and repent for this and what about that and what about this. He unveiled everything in his life and repented of it and was set free. And occasionally I hear from him and occasionally we talk and I say, "How you doing, Sam?" He said, "Man, I'm doing much better now. I don't have that driving in my life." Well, the devil's not going to get to the point where or that person is not going to be free all the time unless he's doing something to fill in those vacant places. And so what happened was the enemy knows that person was his territory for a while. And so occasionally he'll visit. And it's like we always say that just because the enemy visits you doesn't mean you have to let him stay or even enter in. Okay, and an enemy will visit you, just like Scripture says. It says that visiting the iniquity. Well, what enforces the iniquity? Come on, that's not a liquor drink. It's the iniquity. It's iniquity. It's a curse. It's something that's out there that's following the family. Okay, I want to get ready to wrap up here now. Okay, then there's the angels that appeared to Muhammad. Did you know that? That angel appeared to Muhammad. I don't know what his name was, but I know it was an angel of God. Not the God I serve. And so that angel came and gave him the doctrine of Islam. And so today we got about a billion of them out there running around trying to cause us all kinds of trouble, trying to bring us into either convert or bring us into dimitude to serve them. And they'll do it by fear. What is the weapon they use? Fear. That's what they use. And then you got Joseph Smith, you know, the Mormon developer. He's the guy that had an angel appear, and he had tablets of gold, and nobody ever found the tablets, but because he said nobody could read them. And so he's developed and instituted Mormonism, the doctrine of Mormonism. Steal a little bit from the Bible, and I think someone shared earlier that I think it was here, maybe it was somewhere else, that shared that they can see. I think it was Bo, you shared it the other night, and you shared that they can take parts of the scripture and try to manipulate and use it, but they can't bring in the anointing that goes with it. It's not explainable. Sounds like garbage. Or distorted readings, or, you know, you just can't understand it. I tried reading the Quran, couldn't read it. Know your enemy. Know your enemy. Mormonism. Mormons come to our house. They're in trouble. They're in trouble because I invite them in. You bring out your sword, I'll bring out mine. Let's see who's got the sharper sword. And love them. And just love them. Jehovah's Witnesses, they come in, I get them tongue-tied. You should see when they come in, I just play with them. I mean, I'm not playing with them, you know, funny play. You know, I mess with their theology, you know. I do all those things. And then you got the angels that, in Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy. She had, Mary Baker Eddy, a Christian Science, leader and former of that faith. She received from that angel the keys to the scriptures. Oh, imagine that. I thought the Holy Spirit gives us the keys to the scripture. But it was through the natural. And Catholic Mary worship, we talked a little bit about that. Brother Glenn talked about that. He stole my message, but that's okay. About Mary worship. Well, Mary worship didn't come on the scene until around the 1700s. It wasn't there. And they used the idea that, well, the mother of Mary, she's holy. And when you look at Jeremiah, the 44th chapter, you see what she was. She was the queen of heaven. You get that? And you go to some of these countries and you got, that queen's got 50 names, 100 names. Somebody gave us a name. She had about 100 names. Everything in the book she had. Look like you're reading a dictionary of what she did, who she was. They worship her, crawl on her knees, and they have one day, Wednesday, Wednesday let them, but Wednesday, they have a day where people go there and the crowds are enormous. And you know what? Many of them get healed. Did you know that? Mexico, the same thing. They get healed. You know, there's counterfeit healings. Exactly, Jerry. The devil backs out and backs out the evil spirit and just leaves them alone and they become healed. So many things. The children of Fatima, Catholic Church, fear. That wasn't Mary. That was a demon. That was an angel of light that appeared. Angel of light, we know, is Queen of Heaven. For those who have studied anything about that, it was a demon. It was a demon that performed signs and wonders. And so people in the Catholic Church believe that that's what it is. But I just want to tell you that it's not. We need to understand what we're faced against. And also for people that want to go against strongholds. They want to go against territorial spirits. And they have no clue, for most of them, what they're up against. You're up against a very powerful entity. And he's not going to let us do it unless God has assigned you to do it. Don't do it. Okay. All right. The Kundalini spirit, which is also spreading. You walk into some of these churches, they invite you in, the Kundalini. You know, it's also in the martial arts, also in yoga, it's also in a lot of other things. But now you got these people in church that we're going to have an anointing service in these people. We've seen it. We've been around people like this. And they're jerking. You would think that there's not a solid bone in their body because every part of their body is going. Well, that's not of God. God's a God of order. And these people are jumping and doing things you can't even imagine. My last story, and then I'll shut down since I got a little time. I got 2 hours left. I know you want to go. I know you want to be out there. But the Guatemala trip, we were in church we were at, and Pat and I, we always sat up in front, and the pastor, myself, and another elder in the church were getting ready to go to Guatemala. Well, the very thing that we were going there for was because the missionary had asked us to deal with this witchcraft thing. And so in the process of that, we got in front, and the pastor put his arms around me, and then put his pastor arms around this guy over here. And we're standing there, and he made one huge mistake, which I'll guarantee you he'll never do again. And he said, "Anybody that wants to pray for me, come on down. You can pray and lay hands." Well, a person was sitting in the second row, about where this lady's sitting here. I'm not pointing at you. She was sitting there, and I'd never seen her sit that close. She always sat in the back. The moment he did that, she ran up and was first in line because she was right there, was able to get to him up there. And I saw her and I looked at her and I just had this gut feeling. Wasn't sure what it was. I was discerning something. And everybody gathered around. And as they gathered around, the woman began to grab him by the collar, grab him. He was a little taller than her. She's a little gal. And she began to stab him in the heart. And as she was stabbing him in the heart, every time I could see him, And then she stopped, and then she began to butt him with her head, and he had makeup all over his face, but he didn't know what was going on, I guarantee you. Yeah, it was a spiritual knife. Yeah, it wasn't a real knife, because we were going to Guatemala. Okay, but she was a part of a cult which had ministered the night before to a group of people, laid hands on her, and so she was ready. She was a prime target. And so this woman was doing this, and then she started. She looked at me, and then by that time, my wife got up there, and she's looking at Pat, and she says, "Oh, I'm done for." You could just see it. And she started going, "Our Father," and this big voice is coming out of this little woman, and I'm saying, "Not!" And I bound that thing up and I said, "Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." And that thing dropped and looked up at us and just fearful like this. And somebody had taken a mic and shoved it in my mouth while I was doing this, and this church was packed. And all these people were hearing it and saying, "Oh, what's that man doing to that little woman? He's doing it, he's hurting her." But the woman got up and ran out before anybody could minister to him. Well, they didn't know how to minister anyway. So the fact of the matter was, the pastor was hurt spiritually. And the Lord woke him up 3 o'clock in the morning and said, "Pray. Something is going to happen." And he ignored it. Not that he had an opening, but the Lord was trying to teach a lesson to him. He's learned his lesson. And I learned a lesson. I do not close my eyes in deliverance. And so he tried to get up and preach, and he said, "Vito," he says, you come up." He says, "Man, I need prayer." So we took him up to the upper room, not like an upper room, like an upper room in Jerusalem. We took him to an upper room, and we prayed. I bound the thing up, cast it out of him. He felt great, went down, preached a great sermon. The whole crux of this thing, and I'm getting ready to close here now, so don't run out on me. This is my 15th close. I told you about them evangelists. You got to watch them. And so we were on our way to Guatemala. We get on the plane, we go to Guatemala, and the pastor, the missionary there is all excited. We're there. I knew him when he was a kid, and now he's all grown up flying planes and different things. And so anyway, we get into Guatemala, we land in the jungles, we're in this field, dirt field, and cows trying to run in on the plane saying, "Ooh, plane coming. And so, you know, like, the plane. Do you remember? Do you get it? Okay. I know some of you are getting tired, but I don't care. We got there and we went to this mountain. He brought us up to this mountain. Mountains were all green. One mountain was brown. Nothing would grow on it. And that's because they were doing sacrificial, killings of young kids that were being sold between $5,000 and $10,000. Bound all those things came down. We thought, "Whoop. Our job is done." But the Lord wasn't done. We got down, and the day we're getting ready to leave, there was a man that got into the compound. And I don't have time to give you the whole story on this, but he got into the compound and he wanted to talk, and the missionary was kind of worried because this guy was a part of this kind of witchcraft thing, and he came in and he said, "I want to get saved." And you know, when God is dealing with people, when he's dealing with your heart, you say, "What must I do to get saved?" You know, repent. You know, duh. Just repent and confess your sins. You know, that's what it's all about. It's not complicated. I mean, you know, it doesn't take a genius to figure this out. And so he came in, I prayed for him, and he received the Lord. I mean, he was just crying. It was just awesome to see this man receive the Lord. But there was a third-fold purpose in all of this. And he said he was involved in pornography, and he says he's getting rid of everything, and I know he did. And so he says, "I've got a son, he's 22 years old, and he's got this garter on his neck, this big, huge garter on his neck." And I said, "Well, you know, he doesn't know the Lord. Lord, what do I do? And the Lord said, "Just pray, bind, and command that garter to fall off of his neck." And I thought, hey, I got nothing to lose and everything to gain. So I prayed for him, because he wasn't there, the son wasn't there, the father was. So I prayed through the father, and okay. We get on the plane, we got to clear a 10,500 foot mountain that we got to get over. And so we get up to 11,000 feet because he could hardly get over it because of the extra passengers we were flying out of there. And we get up there, and then I almost saw Jesus. I nearly decorated the side of the mountain with the plane that we were in, and it dropped 500 feet. And if you've ever been in that kind of condition, I've been in big planes, but never small ones to do that, and that plane dropped. Remember? 11,000 feet, almost 10,500. We were 11,000 feet because you couldn't gain any height because of the people. We dropped 500 feet. In a second, we dropped. We got over the mountain, and the pastor that was sitting in the front barfed. I mean, he was sick. He said, I don't want to come back here. I'm done with this. This was another pastor from another part of the state. He's Texas. Hey, in Texas, they know how to barf. And so, you barf big, and he did. He did. I'm saying, oh, Jesus, land us quickly. Just translate us to the Guatemala airport. And so we get back into the States. And when we get back into the States, I was supervising a construction project, because that's what I came out of, construction. And I was doing this construction, supervising these guys, and the pastor, this was on Monday, oops, the pastor comes running in, and he says, Vito, I need to talk with you. And I said, yeah? I mean, I thought I was doing something wrong. He said, the man that you led to the Lord, do you remember him? I said, yeah, how can I forget him? It was only one day. And he said, you remember you prayed for a son? I said, yeah? Did he get another garter? Just kidding. Come on, bear with me. I got to have a little fun here. he said, you know what happened? I said, no, nobody's told me anything yet. And he said, the father said, go tell the little guy that the garter fell off of his neck. Signs and wonders that will follow us. Signs and wonders that will follow us. And a drink that will quench my thirst. Okay, so the point that I want to make here is that I am closing this down now. That as we're going through this experience, I wanted to share these last few things to you. Obedience is one of the most effective forms of deliverance. Are you getting that? Obedience. Secondly, the problem is that we can't walk in obedience unless we've been delivered. Okay? All right. Third. So first, we need deliverance. Once we get deliverance, then we get free by repenting to God. Did you know that? Repentance comes first. So we've got to repent to God. And once we repent to God, then we renounce the works of Satan, and this is directed towards Satan. Did you just hear what I said? If not, you'll have to get the DVD. And once that happens, then we can cast out the demons, because now they have no grounds to stand on. So just want to bring it to that place. So oftentimes that we're not announcing to the devil or to Satan that we renounce him. And so it's repentance, it's rejection, it's renouncing. Then you cast out the demon. If you don't know the name, then cast out their function. I can only imagine when Jesus was casting the demon out of the demonized man that had a legion in him, I just can't imagine him saying, okay, demon number one, your name. Demon number two, your name. Demon number three, what'd he do? He cast him out. He said, you all lock arms, you're all going. Lock arms and out. That's what he basically said. None of you are staying in this man. And oftentimes we can spend hours working with people. All we have to do is find the leader of the pack. Get rid of him and everybody else is going to follow. Their strength is weakened. Their numbers are diminished once we cast them out. That's not a hard thing to understand, by the way, if we do it. Next, then you stay free by obedience. Did you know that we can fast sin? We always talk about fasting food. But we can fast sin. We can starve the enemy out of our lives. Come on. You can starve the enemy out of your life. Fast sin. Fast the demon out. You don't cast him out, fast him out. Did y'all get that? Oh, okay. And like I said, you know, Jesus didn't cast out the demons all at once out of his disciples once a month. I know some of you got it, some of you didn't. You got me going. Jesus didn't have a monthly council. Let's see, we're going to cast out all the demons once a month out of my disciples. You get that? Okay. They were cleansed by the word. He said, you are cleansed by the word. The word will cleanse us. Praise and worship will cleanse us. There's so many things that we can do. We're going to change. We're going to change. We're going to change. If we want to see more done, we got to change and do it God's way, not the way we've been doing it before. Nothing wrong with what you've been doing. You want to be more successful? You got to get with the program. And the program is we got to be progressive. Do what God's called us to do. Okay, last thing, very last thing that I want to say. One, you can't cast out demons. You can cast out demons, but you can't cast out the flesh. This is the last thing to go. And it doesn't go, you're dead. So you've got to have discipline in your life. In Luke 11, 34, last scripture, I want you to look at it, and then we're going to pray. Okay? But what? Oh, the marbles. Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you what the marbles are. It was just a decoration to give you something to think about. They're dead. They have no life in them, so they can do nothing. And I want the marbles collected, because if Glenn loses his marbles, we're in trouble. Yeah, they're Glenn's marbles. Yeah, I collected Glenn's marbles and gave them to you. So we've got that. Okay, look at Luke 11, 34. Last scripture. We're done. And we're going to pray. Then we're going to pray. Luke 11, 34. Are you there? If not, I'll read. Okay, 34. The lamp of the body is the eye. Eye gate. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. So you have good light, bad light. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. You mean we can have dark light in us? Jesus said it. If he said it, I believe it. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light as when the bright and shining of the lamp gives you light. We need to have that bright and shining light in our lives. In other words, what it's saying, no spot and wrinkle. Remember, Jesus is not coming back for a prostitute. He's coming back for a church that's without spot and wrinkle. We can't be dabbling and involving ourselves in all kinds of things out there and expect him to come back and say, wow, I didn't know that about my wife. He wants a wife, a pure bride, that becomes his wife. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you, Lord, that we can come before you and we can have fun. Lord, that we can come before you and just sit at your feet and say, God, do the work. You've just made us ministers of what you've called us to do. And Father, as I see these people growing, as I see the light coming on, as I see the information being downloaded, that, Lord, they're set free by your word and, Lord, by the power and authority in Jesus' name. And they even carry that authority. Some carry more or less. Some have bigger badges than others. But, Lord, they're people, your people, Lord, and the enemy is not going to keep them any longer. And, Lord, as they begin to move forward from this time, that the blessings will be upon them and all that they put their hand to will prosper. And the Lord is going to raise you up and do what you do not expect. For the Lord is saying, walk in the light that I have given you and know that I'm going to increase all that you have. And do not look at the circumstances that are around you, but look at me. For my way and my will is perfect for my people. And even though you're going through the things that you're going through at times, know that I am with you because my word has said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that my healing power, both inner healing and physical healing, is in your life. And that as you accept that, as you receive that, and as I do my work in you, I'm completing the work which I have started. I've not birthed you to let you go to the side. I've given you that ability to be able to see everything that I see. And that as you come close to me, you draw close to me, the Lord says, and I will draw closer to you. Yeah. You have not because you ask not. And the Lord is saying, this night, ask what you will, and I will deliver it to you. For the Lord said, his word will not go forth and come back void, but that it will accomplish all that he says. And so now, in the name of Jesus, I speak into your lives, and I say, be blessed. In the name of Jesus, be blessed and be free that you may walk in the fullness of what God has called you to walk in. For some of you will know things in the future as I begin to reveal my light to you. And that as I bring forth revelation knowledge, you will go forth and you will do great and mighty things. Some of you will move from here and you will see things another way. The light will shine and you will say, I didn't know that before, but now I know it. But the Lord said he's opened up your understanding in a new way. Even though there has been light and there's been fun, we're not making fun of the lightness, but we're saying that God is going to complete that work which he has started. The Lord loves you with an everlasting love, and he's not going to let you down. The Lord says, be faithful to him in watch as He begins that work in you. He's already begun that work in many of you. There's a freedom that has come. And the Lord says, freedom is not free. There's a price to pay. And if you are willing to pay that price, know that God will complete that work in your life. Do not be discouraged of what you see around you, of what's going on in the world, but know that I am there for you. I'm going to bring you through. And you must trust in me, because the enemy, once he gets a hold and brings that doubt and unbelief into your life, he will cause you to fall. He will cause you to stumble. But the Lord said that straight and narrow path is difficult. And he said, few that find it. But the Lord says, I see you. I see you. And my desire is for each of you to make that road safely. Walk in the light of what you know. Walk in the light of what you will receive. And watch as God completes that work in each of your lives. Amen. I took a little longer tonight because I knew you all were going to just lay around in your bed all day tomorrow and not do anything. So, Brother Jim, I think there may be people that need individual prayer. And I think that as God is here in a very special way, I feel the anointing. I feel the Spirit of God wanting to do more work here. And He's wanting to reveal things to everyone here. And so for the speakers that are here and designated people that you all work with, I'm going to turn this over to you and collect my marbles.
We're not going to keep you.
I would.
Well, it's on. It's on. We're not going to keep you long tonight. Perhaps it may be some that have a definite impression in their spirit that they need to come up, and we can pray for you and be a blessing to you. We want to do this quickly so that we can have our benediction and prepare ourselves for prayer first thing in the morning.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.